Well, kingdom greetings, each one of you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, I tell you. There's no other place like home. There's no other place. And we only find home in the presence. There's no other place like home, and we only find home in the presence. I also want to take this time to thank you guys for your cards right there. Took time to read them. I'm going to read them again. Thank you so much. And I love you so much too. I love you back. Open your Bibles. Also, I want to take this time to thank those of you who are bringing your Bibles to church. Nobody must feel bad right now when I say that. Because I also understand we live in the age of technology. You probably have it in your phone. You probably have multiple versions. So that's good. You know? But I encourage you guys, have a physical Bible. In case the phone goes dead, you know, or something goes bad with the app, you have a physical Bible that you take notes. You know, have that. So this morning I'm going to spend some time in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I believe the Lord wants to encourage you. Maybe Aaron, you want to help me bring this up after. I changed my mind. Thank you. There you go. There you go. Thank you, brother. And I'm going to reading from the New King James, actually. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16 to chapter 5, verse 10. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. From momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are the things which are, but the things that are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed. But to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us his Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage. That's the third time the word courage appears. We are of good courage. I say and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, also, we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Father, I thank you for your word today. There's so much here. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use these words and encourage your people. Build us up. Make us ready for your return. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. I tell you, anybody, have you ever, guys, ever read this? I mean, I know you have, but this is one passage of the Bible that can be very confusing. It's, Paul is pretty much talking about, this is not a funeral sermon. No, this is actually a hopeful sermon. This is a hopeful passage. Because what is it, what is Paul saying? You know, today I would like, this morning, I would like to take this opportunity to talk to you about what happened. What happens when we die? What happens when you die? Now, the you here doesn't necessarily mean you, Kendra. I'm the you, put all believers. What happened to all? What happened to you? Because I'm talking to you who are believers. And if somebody out there, I mean, yeah, if you're here, you're no believer, you make sure you are. If you're here and Jesus is not your Lord, please do not go home without making Jesus, choosing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Tomorrow is not promised. My aim today is seriously, I mean, I know most of you, you are a believer. You are believers. You know, I mean, of course, we're going to miss our sister. Come, Lord Jesus. Yes, we need somebody to take her place. Maybe all of us. Come, Lord Jesus. I mean, it's just, yeah, come, Lord Jesus. But we know where she goes. We know where she's at. What happened to you when you died? So my neighbor was doing some work last week. You know, we're talking, and then he hired somebody. And the guys, I tell you, I stand out there. It was maybe like 10 minutes. The guy smoked maybe 3 cigarettes in 10 minutes. You know, we're talking. Good, man. I looked at him. I said, man, you know what this can do to your lungs? You know, I said, you know, you know this is not healthy for your lungs, right? Oh, he said, oh, yeah, I know. We all die someday. Listen to his perspective. And in reality, he is right. Dying is part of living. But how do you die? That's what matters. Do you die in spiritual darkness? We do not want the coming of the Lord. I mean, like I said earlier, the coming of the Lord could happen to us two different ways. I'm dead physically. Or the trumpet sound. I know most of us wish the trumpet will sound, right? And then we'll be raptured, caught up in the air, right? And that's what Paul is saying here. All of us will die someday. And I'm putting this online. If you're not a believer, meaning if you're not following Jesus as your Lord, my message to you this morning, repent. Repent of your sins. If you are here today, or you're just riding the line, you're not sure where you stand, you're not sure if you should marry or not. You know those people, those guys, people in a relationship, he likes the girl, but he's not sure if he should commit. Anybody who's not any relationship, guy or the girl, if one is not ready to fully commit, watch it. Be careful. Because people like that can be takers. A lot of time people want to follow Christ like that. Well, you know, I just come to church once in a while. The CEOs, you got the CEOs. I never knew about the CEOs. I think Sam told me that, the CEO, about the CEOs. The Christmas and Easter Christians. CEO Christians. Christmas and Easter. Only. CEO, that's right. Christmas and Easter only. It's not enough. Jesus is the only way to eternity. And guys, when we believe that Jesus came as the Messiah for the remission of our faith, we believe in our hearts, we confess with our mouth, the Bible says those God give the right to become sons and daughters, like you and I. How do I know I'm a son of God? The Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8 verse 16 says, the Holy Spirit bear witness. Oh, the Holy Spirit bear witness to my spirit, I'm born again. The Holy Spirit must bear witness to your spirit, you're born again. If you don't have that, please come to the altar, kneel down, receive Christ as your Savior. Because you must know that Jesus is your Lord. Because dying is coming. The end of the world is near. If you're not a believer, or if you are a believer, but you've been kind of sleeping, asleep, wake up. Wake up, get on fire for Jesus. Wake up. Get on fire for Jesus. This is the time to get on fire for Jesus. This is the time to be radical. This is the time to... Where do you stand? Where do I stand? Here in this church, we love each other. We love Jesus. Restoration Church, we love Jesus. So if people don't want to talk about Jesus, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry that you got to see you live. But you don't know what you're missing. Here, we love each other. We love Jesus. That's what we do. We give Holy Spirit room. We are a Spirit-filled church. We believe in the Bible. A declaration we did earlier. Right? I believe in the Son. I believe in the Word. I believe in the Holy Spirit. What happens to you when you die? See, death. I saw it, but I didn't have enough time to get it ready, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to use this cord. The credit is not, I don't know who, I think Francis Chin, that's where I saw it. The greatest Miles Monroe said, the value of life is not in its duration. The value of life, you know, sometimes that, man, this guy was so young. Why he died, he was 23. He's so young. A 23 years old, like, you know, our sister just lost her daughter. Pam, she lost her daughter. Daughter's... Oh, Pearl? Yeah, Pearl. 40. I mean, all of us, you could be like, man, that's... So here, this is life. And you can measure this to whatever, however long you live. 40, 30, 15... 90, 89, 93, 97, 100, 115. This is it. Whatever number you put this in this. This is our lifespan on earth. And then this is eternity. And there's more we can't see. This cord, there's more we can't see. That's eternity. So we have this lifespan here. To decide where we're going to spend eternity. And the crazy thing is, when you're dead, you're not just poof, disappear. You will not turn into a goat. I don't know, maybe like you're a dog or whatever. An elephant, whatever. But dying takes you directly into eternity. But where will you spend your eternity? Is it, I'm going to spend eternity in hell? Or I'm going to spend eternity in paradise? I know some people are like, I don't believe that stuff. I tell you, man. I would rather die. I would rather believe and die believe there is heaven and get there and find no heaven than believe there is no hell and go there and find there is a hell. Are you still with me? John chapter 14 verse 6, it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 16 verse 6, Jesus is the way. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Oh, can I have a better witness if you have Jesus in your heart? Do you have Jesus in your heart? I've got Jesus in my heart. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Yeah, Jesus in your life. You see, such question can be so much, what happened to you when you die? But I want to keep the perspective, try to answer that from the verses we just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and chapter 5, verse 1-10. When I research the Bible, I find a long list of reasons why I think right now, especially today, I think it's a good subject to talk about because, even in our context, right? We have three people. I know at least four people this past month that have died. Yeah, right? Not here in our church, but we've got a couple in our church. They said, there's a preacher, he said, I'd rather do a funeral than a wedding. You know why? Because funeral, people's hearts are quite a little bit more open to think and reflect about the meaning of life. Not everybody sees that opportunity in funeral to realize, you know what, am I ready? Kendra said it earlier, love your loved ones. You know? Don't take each other for granted. And the reason why I think such theme this morning is important is this possibility I find. It's eternity. It says the possibilities of eternal joy and eternal misery. You see, now we don't have to pray for our loved one who have passed on. We don't have to pray for them, but we must pray for ourselves. They're rejoicing. Now, what we need to ask ourselves, would so-and-so want me to be so depressed and sad? Or would they want me to move on and be happy and live their legacy? Mm-hmm. I think our sister would want us to keep shouting, come Lord Jesus, and be ready for Lord Jesus. Keep shouting, come Lord Jesus. You have room in here. And then be ready. Live a life ready for his return. See, the possibility for joy and misery after dying are trillions times greater than what our little mind can imagine. Because when we die, We either enter joy or we enter misery. And right now, everybody has the opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus. Like I said, John 14:6, Jesus is the only way to eternal joy. Oh, I like that sound, a baby in the house. The Bible from James chapter 4, verse 14, it says, our time is like a vapor. Poof! You're here today, gone tomorrow. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. That's why, please, treat people with respect. Love everyone. You know, sometimes when we think we so much, I hope none of us are like that. But if you are, repent. Treat people with respect, with kindness. Why? Because death is the common denominator. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how poor you were. When we're all dead, we all look alike. So what happened to you after you died really matters. You either enter joy for eternity or you enter misery for eternity. And now I want all of us to live moving forward with the joy. You know what, man? When I'm ready to die. Are you ready to die? Now just think about it. Man, I don't want to die now. That's why we exercise. That's what Paul said. He said, man, this tent, I long to have a new house. Paul compared this as a tent. This is our body right now, physical body is a tent. And then the body we will receive after we pass on is a house. And Paul's like, man, this tent is going down. But as my tent is my, you know, it's like, now I gotta wear my glasses more often now. Why? Because this tent's going down. You know, it's like 4 years ago, I didn't really need that. You know? And it's like, no matter what you do to remain young, this tent is dying. But, glory to God, the inner man. This is the outer man. The inner man, the will you. That's why I say, put more emphasis on the will you. Feed your will you. Feed your spirit with the word of God. Feed your spirit with a community that loves each other, that loves God. Surround your, don't just listen to the body. Make sure you take care of your spirit. Because at the end of the day, that's what will matter. The spirit man. Your real you. The legacy you live. And do not get frustrated for back pain. Yeah, Lord bless them, heal them. But guess what? As we get older, we get back pain. Because the spine is getting older. As we get older, you know, I could be like, yep, bleep. But I tell you, in 20 years, you won't find me do that. I'm going to be like. Because that's going to be my season. That's why I think it's very demonic that our generation is discarding our old generation, the young generation. The young generation think, well, you old, just, you know, you retired, go in the corner and die. No. Your season is perfect. Your season is your season. This is my season. I'm 46, right? That's my season. But I will be 82 very soon. Because that's the way life goes. But my spirit man, your spirit man, is growing stronger and stronger. And I believe that's what the Lord wants us to put more emphasis on. So here, why? What happened when you die? The possibility, there are three different possibilities. I told you the first possibility is eternal joy or eternal misery. I choose eternal joy. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. You've been delivered. Your chains have been broken. And I tell you guys, when you meet someone who is dwelling in the Word, you know what the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord through the Bible will do to you? It will change your mind. I have yet to find a really grumpy person who is dwelling in the Word. You could be naturally grumpy, but then the more you read the Word of God will influence your grumpiness. I used to be a grumpy person. I used to be a miserable person. The Lord, guys, Jesus completely changed my personality. The Word of God completely changed my personality. As a matter of fact, that's a strong word. I used to hate people. I hated white people. And God gave me a white wife. Yeah. But I didn't know I hated white people until the Lord started doing his operation in my heart. Because I'm in school, here is my teacher teaching me the history of Haiti, and then they're telling me all the everything the white man did to the black man. I'm like, man, I want to kill a white man right now. So I grew up with that, not knowing I had that. Slavery is sin. Slavery has nothing to do with the kingdom. No man should own any other man. You know? But Jesus set me free. See, now, I'm not gonna die physically to enter eternal life. I already have eternal life. See, that's the concept. You're thinking, well, I gotta drop beep dead so I can whoop, wake up in eternal life. No, I am in eternal life because my spirit has eternal life through Jesus. Okay? Because I have confessed Jesus as my Lord. He's in my heart. That's why when you see my life, you ask me, man, how can you be like that? I tell you, it's Jesus, you know? That's it. Because I have eternal life. You know, the other possibility, the question of authentic faith. I believe this morning, talking about what happened when you die, would also help us realize, is our faith real? Is your faith in Jesus real? Do you really believe in Jesus? Or do you believe in Jesus when things are good? Do you know that some of our brothers and sisters in the field, in the Ukraine right now, have lost their loved ones? I know some pastors from our network. I've heard the stories from PK. They lost family members. Some of their sons went to war and died. Can you still believe God when things are rough in your life? Now, I'm not talking about something you've done and you paying the consequence. Remember, every sin has a consequence. But will I still believe God if I would find myself in a situation where there is war? Would I still have my joy? Is your joy, is your faith real? Does outside realities affect your faith? Outside realities. Your outside realities could be your jobs, your bank account, you know, whatever else you can fill the blank with. Is your faith with God, in God, is mere subjective? Or is it a mere subjective experience according to, you know, your feelings, your thoughts? That's what they go through, you know. It's like, oh, I believe God is a good God, so if I call, he should answer. You see, what they fail to understand, God created everything, but not everyone is a son of God, is a child of God. We all have sin. Adam screwed it up for us. Eve screwed it up. But then Jesus made a way for us to reconcile with Father. And all who believe that, they restore their initial position, to become sons and daughters of God. Is your faith real? I believe this morning it's a good time to think, is my faith real or I believe in Jesus? I'm preparing this. I'm like, man, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Lord, I believe in you. That's why I choose this song. I believe in the Son. I believe. I said, Lord, oh man, come, Lord Jesus. I believe in you. I believe in the power of your name. I believe your name has power to set the captives free. I believe our country can come back to God. We'll come back to God. I believe Jesus will come back again. You see, when you think about eternity, it helps you. It says it helps getting people thinking about eternity helps getting people out of religious delusion. That makes sense? Because actually, do you know some people believe they can pray for the dead? They can pray the dead into heaven. Purgatory. Is that how they say? You pray the dead to heaven. You see, while you and I have the breath in our lungs, this is a time to make things right with God. Make things right with people. Make things right with God. Make things right with people. I was talking to somebody last week, he was visiting Lloyd's house, and then we sat and we talked, and we end up talking about our fathers. You know, some of the things that he experienced with his fathers and stuff, and then I was telling him, but I saw the open door. I saw the open door for me to share my testimony. I said, yeah, man, talking about forgiveness. I said, I forgive my dad, you know. Long story short, I give him just a short little version of some of the things I've experienced. Absentee father, you know, abused father. And then I told him, I said, well, because of Jesus, this is what I've done. And I said, now I am so free. I said, I can talk to my dad. I have no grudge against my dad. He's like, really? Oh, wow. I said, now that was possible because I accept God's word. You see, now when we butt head with God's word, God's word, they're four levels of authority. It's God, the supreme authority. It's the word of God comes second. And then it's your conscience. And then there are people in authority, like your teacher, your husband, your wife, your, you know, the president, whoever, anybody else who are placing the level of authority. But then my dad is an authority in my life. He abused me. But then the word of God who teach me the level of authority also told me, children, honor your father. I'm like, why didn't you say honor your mother? Why do you have to say, I'm talking to the Bible. What, Lord, why couldn't you say honor your mother? I had a good mother. I had a bad father. Why do I have to honor him? I don't know if you ever argue with the word of God. You know, I have. I've got this conversation with the Lord. It's like, well, what option do you have? Trust and obey. There's no other way. For you to experience eternal life, eternal joy, and your faith to be stable, you must trust and obey at every level of your life. I don't know what season or what level of your life that you need to trust this morning. Thinking about death and eternity also helps put God in the center, because sometimes we put other things in the center of our lives. A couple weeks ago, maybe a month, I talked about priorities. And I said, or even doing my teaching over passion, I said, anything that takes God's place in your life is a dangerous place. It's a dangerous thing. Can also take you out of eternity. So make sure you keep God at the center. You see, thinking about death, or when I die, what happened to me, also help us. I like this. It says, when the biblical truth of this theme or the subject come to our mind, it frees us from fear and gives us courage. Because now I'm not afraid of dying. Anybody used to be like that? I used to. I used to be afraid of death. As a matter of fact, back in our country, they build a cemetery in our backyard. So in my grandma's house, we have a cemetery. My grandpa's there, my aunt's there, I have a brother there, my just had a recent cousin, just got buried there. When I was growing up, man, cemetery, I automatically see the dead people walking around. At night, we don't go back there because the dead's there. I was afraid of the dead. I was afraid of dying. Every time I think of dying, I'm so sad. I used to, until I met Jesus. And then I read Jesus, so went to death. He's like, come here, death, give me your power. Where's your sting, death? Where's the thing that caused you to hurt people? So now I'm not afraid anymore. That's why it says here, it says the call to Christian courage. What we read in 1st, 2nd Corinthians 14. It says, there's the word courage four times. It says, take courage. Why? Because when we think, when I'm dead, what happened to me? man, what a good news. When I'm dead, this tip is gone. I get a new house. Yes. I get a new house. You know, that's why we say, you know, Jomel is healed. You know, so-and-so is healed. But they are. If you think about it, they are completely healed. Because there is no sickness. A person who can truly say to die is gain will be able to say like no one else, to live is Christ. See, and I believe that's where God wants us to be. Every day, moving forward, guys, everything you do it with the perspective to live is Christ. I live for Christ. Everything I do, the way I treat people, the way I treat my spouse, the way I put God's activity, you know, put God's kingdom as a priority. To live is Christ. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. You don't have to go there. It says, but if people can't say to die is gain, I tell you, die is gain. I've heard it. The guy said it. It was, what's his name? Jack Frost. He said, the best thing that can happen to a believer is dying. It was years ago when I heard him say that. I was just like, what? Oh, hang on. What? Say it again. You say dying, the best thing that can happen to a believer is when they're dead? I don't get it. But then the more I study into it, I'm like, what? Or 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, in chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. The best thing that can happen to you as a believer, as a son and daughter of Christ, is when you die. Or when the trumpet call. I mean, sound. And then you go home. It's because that gives you hope. Every day you live with hope. And it goes on. In 1 Peter, it says, anyone with this eager expectation will keep themselves pure. You know why I live a pure life, a holy life? Because I have eternal life. Because I have this eager expectation that Jesus will return. So therefore, I treat people with kindness. On the days I feel like I want to kill somebody, guess what? I go to Jesus, I say, Lord, this flesh, this tent, I'm still in this tent, Lord. You know what? I really want to take revenge right now, Jesus. I really need your help. You know, Lord, I feel aggravated. I feel I want to curse. You know, I want to curse, Lord. You know, when you pray, that's how you pray. You talk to God and you tell him exactly how I feel. Jesus, I'm so grumpy today. If anybody come here today, I might chew them up. But Lord, give me your grace. Lord, give me your grace. And then you start singing, your amazing grace, it's perfectly free. Oh, your grace, you know, amazing grace. What are you doing right now? You're living by faith. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. It says, I do not live by what I sense. I live by faith. You see now, living like that will keep you joyful. It'll allow you to continue to be the salt that God wants us to be in this world. You see, people who can't say dying is gain, they're living for themselves. This is what they say. Let us eat and drink and be merry. For tomorrow we die. That's a sad statement. Because tomorrow, yes, you die. But that's not the end. That's not the end. Being sure of what happens when you die is indispensable as a believer in Christ. For your daily courage, do not back down. Don't force the gospel in people's throat. But make a bold stand. Does your friends know what you believe? Does your neighbor know you're a believer? Or they know you go to church, but you're such a grump. You never say good morning. Or when they treat you bad, you treat them bad too. When they put their garbage can in front of your house, you put yours in front of their house too next week to show them I'm still alive. I still have blood flowing in my vein, okay? I go to church, but no. Follow Christ is dying to yourself. Oh, following Christ is to say, hey man, how you doing, neighbor? They ignore you. But you say they don't have anything to offer you. You do have to offer them. You have to offer them kindness. And I tell you guys, people are hurting out there. Family are hurting. They're under stress financially. And they don't know how to cope with that. They're under stress at work. And then you go out there, it's dog eat dog driving, dog eat dog at the store, dog eat dog at work. But you, God is sending you. See, I know God is sending you in your workplace. I know a lot of times you guys could see me, the pastor, God sent me in the field, in the world, as the evangelist. No, as a matter of fact, God has placed you at work. See, he placed you, my sister, Becky, my brother, at your work. He placed all of you who are still at your job. He places you there to represent him. To show that it is God's love that leads people to repentance, not judgment. You see, the problem is Christians, we become judgmental. Man, if you're so judgmental, won't you judge yourself first? Judge yourself first and come to the verdict and then see if you can judge anybody. It is all but for the grace, by the grace of God. We cannot say, let us drink and be merry. Even though in the Lord, we can be merry. Because in the Lord, that's the only place you can be merry, right? Man, I'm not afraid of spiritual death. Do not lose heart. And I'm going to read that again. There's so much I could say right here, but I want to stop right here. Be of good courage. I'm going to read that in the Passion, and then we'll finish. I'm going to read the same verse again in the Passion, because I believe the Passion should give us a different perspective. 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 16. It says, so now, no wonder we don't give up. For even though our outer person gradually wears out, our inner being is renewed every single day. That's the good news. Our physical body is going down, but your inner person, we view our slightly short-lived troubles in the light of eternity. You see, your slightly troubled life, view it in the light of eternity. That's what I showed you with the cable. We see our difficulties as the substance that produces for us an eternal weight glory far beyond our comparison, because we don't focus our attention on what is seen. So today, if your attention was focused on what was seen, put it on faith. Put it on the things of God. See people through the lenses of God. See, even, I tell you, what's happening in the world with the war with Israel, this is a time to read some of the books in the Old Testament, the book of Revelation, so you can understand. We live in the last days. Bible prophecies are being accomplished. So this is the time for you to, listen, love people. Live free. Love your family. Love your family. Love them. Stand for what is true. Stand for what is right. Do not be afraid to speak the truth in love to them. Don't focus on what is seen, for what is seen is temporary. But the unseen will is eternal. I'm calling you to see the unseen will, because sometimes even my mind cannot see it. So I gotta believe and remind myself, the unseen world is real. In summary, in conclusion, this morning, I encourage you, take heart, guys. Whatever you're going through, may the Lord comfort your heart. Whatever the situation is. You know, at the beginning, I talk about unbeliever or a believer who's just riding the line. This is a time to really make it bold. Decide who you're going to serve. Decide who you are going to follow. Paul renews his inner man by looking into the unseen things. He looks at three possibilities. First one, as a conclusion, he preferred that Christ would come, the rapture. He's like, man, who can deliver me from this mortal body? Right? Paul even went on to say, man, sometimes I want to do the right thing, but I don't do the right thing. Anybody else? It's like sometimes I just want to do the right thing, but it's like just like that toilet, you know? Toilet came back in my butt and... Yeah. If you weren't here, you missed the story. Go online and listen to it. I give a story about a toilet. Something I did. You know, it's like you know the right thing to do, but then because you didn't do it, it comes around and back, but bit you. See, God calls us to always do the right thing. Do not compromise. And that's what Paul said. Who can deliver me? You see, if God's will for the second coming to find you here on earth, He wants to find you living by faith. Let me repeat again. If God's will is that He comes and you're still alive, you want to make sure He finds you in faith. You want to make sure He finds you in His will. But then if His will is that we die, well, guess what? So be it. Because dying is gain. Living is for Christ. That makes sense? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your presence, and Lord, for loving us so much to give us your word to change our hearts, Lord. And we trust you, Lord. And Father, I pray for people who are struggling with their faith, whether here or online. Lord, I pray that you would call their name so they could make a decision to really obey and trust you. Come to the strong decision to follow you, Lord. Jesus, you are worth it. You're worth it. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for courage that we find in you this morning. Thank you for forgiveness. I want us to pray this again. Let us stand in the presence.